everyone, welcome to China Money Podcast, your weekly dose of local knowledge on investing in China. I'm your host, Nina Xiang. Every week, I talk to a China-based fund manager, an industry expert, an analyst, or an economist. We discuss strategies, industries, opportunities, and challenges to help you get unique insights on the Chinese markets. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, listen on your iPhone or iPod, or go to our website at chinamoneypodcast.com and sign up to our newsletters. You can also like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter at chinamoneypod. Thank you for those of you who have gone to our website, clicked on our sponsor's banner ads, and signed up to their services. Thank you so much for your support. If you haven't done so, and if you'd like to support us, it's simple, only takes a few minutes. Just go to chinamoneypodcast.com and click on our sponsor's ads. Thank you so very much. Our guest today is Jenny Gao, Managing Partner at Mandarin Capital Partners, a fund focused on investing in China-Europe cross-border deals. Earlier this year, I talked to Mandarin's founder, Alberto Fuccini. If you're interested, you can go to our website and listen to that podcast as well. Jenny is based in Beijing and is in charge of the operations in China, so she has unique insights into how to work with Chinese companies. She previously worked at one of China's three policy banks, the Export-Import Bank of China, and joined Mandarin from there. One of the interesting investments Mandarin did recently was investing in a Chinese credit rating agency called Dagong Credit Rating to help them expand into Europe. Jenny explains to me how she sees this investment could work out and what kind of challenges they will have to overcome in order to achieve their goals. But before we go into the interview, I want to share one report from Goldman Sachs Gao Hua. With you, the report just came out last week. It's called China Getting Out of the Woods, but Beware of Possible Near-Term Headwinds. Its main point, economic activity rebounded significantly because of looser domestic policy. Also last week, we have HSBC PMI number out at 50.4, above 50 in November. So that's another positive sign. But the report cautioned for the next 2 to 3 months because they're worried about the potential monetary policy tightening, possibly at the beginning of 2013. For the longest time, people have been expecting monetary policy to loosen in China, but that didn't become a reality. And now the momentum of the economy is just showing signs of a rebound. We have to worry about policy tightening. Overall, if you're worried about the Chinese economy, you should probably do so in the next 3 months, at least. Great, that's a quick news review. Let's go to the interview with Jenny Gao from Mandarin Capital. She talked to me in Beijing and hope you enjoy it. Hi, Jenny, welcome.
Thank you, Nina.
You're only the second female guest in our show's 1.5 year history. So let's start with your professional career. Mm-hmm. You worked at Export-Import Bank of China. How did you get into the private equity industry?
I worked for the Export-Import Bank of China ever since it began its business in China in 1994. You know, the Export-Import Bank of China, they're very much engaged in the business where they provide loans for Chinese companies to invest abroad as well as, you know, undertake big construction contracts and also export of machinery goods. So during that period of time, I actually accumulated a lot of network in terms of Chinese big SOEs as well as big private companies who's very active in abroad, in how to say, the go global kind of business. When Mandarin was set up in 2007, Alberto Forcelli, my managing partner, he asked Exim to give the kind of support so that in terms of like sending the best employees to the fund to help the fund explore the business in China. So I was actually at that time picked by the management of Exim and then sent to Mandarin. That's why I began my job in Mandarin. And at that time, I also just finished my MBA study, majoring in finance. So I'm pretty ready in terms of both education, experience, and also network.
The China Exim Bank and also China Development Bank, as well as the second largest Italian bank, are the major investors in Mandarin Capital's first fund.
Yeah, exactly. They are the three cornerstones. Each of them put 75 million euro into the fund. And in the end of 2007, we raised 328 million euro.
Mandarin Capital's strategy is to invest in China-Europe cross-border deals and to help Chinese companies to expand in Europe and also European companies who want to explore Chinese markets. Mm-hmm. Is that a very accurate description of your strategy?
Yeah, exactly. To be more specific, we invest in Chinese companies and then help them to expand into Europe. One of the major ways is through a merger and acquisition, but also we help them to find the business partners, or we introduce like European strategic investors to team up with us together. We do vice versa, which is we invest in European companies and help them to expand their business in China. This could be either by M&A or building a JV or even greenfield investment. So we see the synergy and we try to implement, through our help and our value creation, we wanted to put the companies from two sides together so that we could benefit from the synergy generated.
Can you give us an example of your investment that illustrates how this strategy would work in practice?
Right. We invest in an Italian company called Dataluz. It's a company with its main business in making medical software. One of the major product is the platform software where you could link hospitals, drugstores, government agencies, insurance companies together so they could get efficiently exchange of the information and also to promote the efficiency in managing the whole healthcare system in the region. And they already successfully implement four regional platform software in Italy. As you know, in China, this kind of software was only started 2 years ago, and the market is at a very beginning stage. We're just at the stage of beginning to implement medical record, but there's no such kind of a platform software in China. So the expertise of Dataluz, in fact, it's very relevant to Chinese market. But Dataluz is just a mid-sized company. Chinese market for them is a very complicated one. After we become shareholder, we help them to look at many targets to be acquired in medical software sector in China. I think we actually scrutinized more than 30 different kind of companies. And finally, we choose the company, which name is Sunway Technology. It's located in northern part of China, in a third tier city, because that city is pretty rich with a lot of financial resources. And in addition to that, they are launching one of the biggest projects of platform software in China. So eventually, we acquired a majority share of Sunway Company. So they become the Dataluz platform in China, both in terms of developing the software in Chinese, but also to set up this model project in the city.
Financially, what kind of benefit have this company been able to achieve through this acquisition?
Well, this would be very important because this opens the window for Chinese market. Just at the beginning, we're getting a contract of roughly like 2 million euro, which is quite significant in terms of medical software in Chinese market. And then since we already have our team and I have our model project, it will be very easy to get the other orders in Chinese market. At the same time, we are also building a JV relationship with one of the biggest distributor of medical product in China, who can help us to approach hospitals across China so that we can effectively tackle this market.
How do you envision that you would exit this investment?
Dataloos is a fast-growing company, and we anticipate it will also have an IPO in the next 2 years' time.
In Italy, in Europe, or in China?
Our focus is Europe. But our share in Chinese markets is growing very well, and we don't rule out the opportunity to also go for IPO in China as well.
One of your most recent investments mm-hmm. was Dagon Europe Credit Ratings.
Yes.
Dagon is China's state-backed credit uh-huh. rating agency. Tell us a little bit about your rationale behind that investment and how do you envision that investment will be able to grow in Europe?
Mm-hmm. Yes, actually Dagon is not a state-owned company. It's a private company. It's a very independent run rating agency, but with support of the Chinese government, let's put it in this way.
Including financial support?
I don't think so, actually. This is a purely, a private company. So it's not participated by the state in terms of the share structure. In China, it is one of the three biggest rating agencies in China, but the other two was already having the JV structure with the other international rating agencies. So Dagon International is a purely Chinese credit rating agency. Let's say an independent Chinese credit rating agency.
But as you say, it's still supported by the Chinese government, so that support comes in the form of...
Well, I would say that China is in favor of, to support Chinese credit rating agencies to excel, both in the Chinese market but in the world market. So what Dagon is doing is highly praised by the Chinese government. And that's why they also got the different kind of support in terms of policy or the other related kind of support from Chinese government. But it is not this kind of a state-controlled sector where they only allow the one which is financed by the government to enter into. Dagon, since it already has a very good base of business in China, it always wants to become an international credit rating agency. And that is why in past years it developed its own system of doing credit rating, also on the country credit rating. Of course, Europe is a very interesting and attractive place to go because Europe is a mature market. With many companies and financial institutions. In this market, you really need very good expertise and a very good standard of your professional work that you can really live through in this very, competitive market because it's already a mature market. You don't see many new companies.
What would you think would be the biggest challenge for you to mm-hmm. enter this market that has long been dominated by the big three rating agencies?
I would say the most important challenge is to find the right people. To build a very strong team in this market. I think we have partially achieved that efforts. We found the general manager, the business development manager, which are very good. The other challenge is really to put the two teams to work together because there's also cultural difference, the different way of doing business or even communication.
What is the planned exit time?
Well, we're planning to exit in roughly 4 to 5 years. We believe at that time we could already build a pretty strong business in Europe. And also, Dagon would have a plan for also a listing in Chinese market, and we could exit at that time.
You're raising your second fund, target size of 1 billion euros. Would this fund strategy be any different from the first?
Yes, I would say the main strategy is the same. It's still to capitalize on the synergy between China and Europe. One very strong goal for us is to enter into German market. They have pretty good technology, and they are all mid-sized company. Actually, in the past 5 years of time, when we are receiving the request from Chinese companies who's interested to acquire an Italian company, oftentimes they also mention a German company's name to us. And last year, China has already become the biggest investor in German market. We also see that there's a huge demand from a German company, the mid-sized German company, who may be like leaders in the niche market, to come to China to develop their business there.
Jenny, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the conversation.